Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Today, man, anybody know that the Lord is good? Shout amen. Listen, church, we are absolutely honored and thrilled. We had two of the greatest people and speakers on the planet join us for our marriage conference this weekend. And Pastor Justin Graham, he stayed over today to bring the word to Makers Church. Now, he'll tell you, but I want to tell you, and I want to tell you one thing. I'm honored that you're here, sir, and we honor you and what God is doing in and through your church and your life. We're so grateful. They started a church several years ago, and God, listen, you want to talk about a supernatural kingdom movement. I'll let you tell them what's happened. But when I tell you a supernatural kingdom movement, and listen, I believe God is desiring to do that right here in this city through Makers Church. And so what do I mean when I say that? I mean, as the man of God comes today, let's let our faith get up high to get ready to receive what God's going to speak to us today. But will you do this as he comes? Will you welcome Pastor Justin Graham as he comes to deliver the word today?
Oh, come on, somebody give God some praise in the house. Come on, if you love Jesus, let him know about it. Come on. Come on, give him your best praise today. Come on, he woke you up today, brought you to his house to worship the one who is strong and mighty. Come on, come on, Makers Church, let him hear you. We love you, God. Hallelujah. Just remain standing if you would. Get your Bibles out, and as you do so, you got an amazing worship team. Do they do an awesome job leading us in the presence of the Lord? Never forget the front house people that do the lights and the screens and the sound, and you guys are awesome back there. Thank you all. But what an honor to be with you today. God has been so faithful to my life, and he's been faithful to you because you're in the house of God today. Amen. It's never a right to come into the house of God. This is a privilege, and it's an honor to be here today. And I want to thank your pastors for allowing us to have the opportunity to come. And I understand what it is to allow someone to stand behind your pulpit and preach the word of God. And so I honor you, sir, and I honor you, ma'am, for allowing us to be here. Thank you for trusting me with this assignment. And I honor your pastors. We've honored the Lord today, and I believe you should get honor where honor is due, and your pastors are worthy of that. And so you've got two of the finest right here at Makers Church. So can you show some love for your pastors, the shepherds of this house? Amen. And I do want to just reiterate and welcome also the online crowd that we have today. I know your pastor just welcomed you, but I want to officially welcome you as well, too. So if you have your Bibles with you at home, get them ready and get them out and join with us here. And if you don't have a home church, you do now. Be a part of the Makers Church. If you've never been here personally, I know we'd love for you to come and join us right here every Sunday at 8:45 and 11. You belong right here. Come on. In fact, why don't you welcome the online church today? Come on, welcome them. And I would like to take just a moment and give God praise for what he has done and what he is doing in my life. I think it's fitting to do that. I never want God to think I'm ungrateful because, man, what he is doing at the Avenue Church in Morristown, Tennessee has just been a God thing, and just absolutely blown away by what he has done. And we launched the church in 2013. And so this January, we turn 10 years old. We celebrate 10 years. And in a little less than 10 years, we've seen almost 8,000 people give their lives to Jesus Christ. And it's just been incredible. So will you praise God with me that the kingdom is advancing? Thank you, Lord. God, you're so good. You're so good. And so my wife hates that she can't be here. She was here Friday and Saturday. We actually had a guest coming in to speak, and something happened, scheduling conflict, kind of a last minute there. And so she said, you know what, I'll just go back and preach. And so I'm thankful that my wife is able to fulfill the pulpit today and preach the word of God. And it's pretty crazy because my wife, her sister, and their father are all preaching today. And that has never happened on the same day. And I think that's pretty absolutely incredible. And then their favorite son-in-law is preaching today as well. So y'all can tell Pastor Eric that I am the favorite from... Pastor Eric Peachy from City Gate is my brother-in-law. And so, but on Sunday, October the 9th, 2022, I am on an assignment to speak into the heart of Makers Church. And so as we get started today, I need to let you know that God is looking for places and people who are available. God is looking for places and people who are available. I just wonder today, is there anybody here who desires to live in the middle of a mighty move of God? Anybody in the house today? Amen. Come on, look around you with your hands up. That's all of us. Come on. Are you thankful to be in a house where you want God to show up and move in an awesome way that not only changes your lives but changes this region? Come on, how many believe that God is going to use you to reach Cincinnati? Can I get an amen? The greater Cincinnati area. So let's get our Bibles out and turn to Judges. If you have them, if not, you can follow on the screen. But Judges is the seventh book in the Bible, if you're not familiar with that. So turn there with me to Judges chapter 6. Now, upon reading our text, you may not be able to puzzle all the pieces together, but I promise you I will explain everything. So here's what you briefly need to know before I read. The people of Israel, God's people, are being attacked, and they're afraid for their lives. That's what you need to know. Now, I think I know what you're accustomed to, but I love, in Tennessee at the Avenue Church, I come from what you call a talk back church, and so I preach a whole lot better if you talk back to me. Y'all gonna help me preach today? Come on, 11 o'clock, y'all gonna help me preach today? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, help the man preach, brother. Help the man preach, sister. Help him out. So Judges chapter 6, 11 through 18. This is what the word of the Lord says. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak and ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon, somebody say Gideon, was threshing wheat in a wine press. Somebody say wine press. To keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Verse 13, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me again, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered him, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." And Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it really is you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Now, I told the marriage conference this. If you're a note taker, it's a good thing, because 99.9% of note takers automatically make it to heaven. So if you're taking notes, you're in a good place today. So make sure you're doing that. It's really good. It's really good. So if you are taking notes, write this down. The title of the message today is Stuck for a Purpose. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, stuck for a purpose. Stuck for a purpose. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your awesome presence in this place. Thank you, God, that where two or more show up together in your name, that you are with us. We thank you, Lord, for the ecclesia, the house, the church, the assembly, the gathering together. Thank you, God, for Pastor Derek and Pastor Melissa and their team and all the leaders in this place and every person that has walked into your house today. And Lord, we ask that you would show up and speak to our hearts. Help all of us to open up our hearts to what you have for us. And God, will you help me to deliver what you need to share, what you need to speak? We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and have your way. Will you save, heal, deliver, set free, change, and empower today? In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody shout a big amen. Somebody shout, stuck for a purpose. Stuck for a purpose. Now, I brought some lemons and oranges up here. I got some fruit with me, and I just want to go ahead and get this out of the way, because this is going to be used later. Have you ever heard somebody say, when life hands you lemons? Okay, this is not that message. So please don't get on social media and say, "Oh, well, Pastor Justin preached such a sweet message about when life is hard and he hands you lemons, make lemonade." No, bump all that. Like, we ain't talking about that. So we're going to go a different route with all of that. Stuck for a purpose. A couple years ago, My wife and I were outside and getting into our shed. We have a shed in the backyard, and I keep it locked, and we had the key. And so coming in the house, she dropped the key right next to the door going into the backyard onto our deck. And our deck is made with little crevices in between each piece that it fell down through the deck and underneath. And the way our ground is, there's a little bit of space underneath the deck, and the land goes down a little bit. So you can walk under our deck, but to get up to where the door is, you'd have to get up an army crawl all the way up there. And so I thought, you know what? The only way to get this thing is to army crawl underneath and try to find this key. Well, it had just rained a couple days before, and so underneath that part, it was muddy, y'all. Like, the sun doesn't get to it. It's just muddy. So I got on some old clothes, and in Tennessee, in that area, we have that red clay, and so if you get something on your clothes, it is not coming out. Do not wear white shoes on a rainy day in Tennessee in case you walk into some red clay. And so I crawl up underneath there, and I'm just shimmying my way through, and it's dark, and it smells gross. I mean, you know that mud, just gross smell, and it's just not very pleasant. And I'm thinking, I'm pleading the blood of Jesus the whole time. God, don't let me find a spider or a mouse or a snake or something. I'm rebuking the devil in Jesus' name. And I get up close into the corner of the house where the door is, and the land kind of drops off just a little bit, like where you can see like an animal had been digging a little bit. And I'm like, oh, God, not today. Please don't let a skunk come out and spray me. I'm just under here going, pleading the blood of Jesus. I'm casting out devils. And so I'm laying in this, my back is literally pressed up against the deck, and I'm laying on the mud, and I can't find the key. I've had my phone out, and I'm like doing one of these actions, trying to shine a light where I can find the key, and I can't find anything. I'm under there about 10 minutes, can't find anything. And I start hollering for my wife and my kids, and nobody's listening to me. They abandoned me out in this, underneath the deck, and I'm like, Melissa! I'm like, they're inside, and I'm like, are you serious? Like, I'm out here laying my life down to find this key. And so finally, she comes out there, and she says, baby, okay? And she's right on top of me. I'm like, yeah. And I can see through the cracks, and she goes, oh, I meant to tell you, I found the key. And I just kind of just lay there, and I'm like, well, that would have been great information yesterday. Like, what in the world? Like, come on, babe. She goes, oh, sorry. So I was stuck for no purpose whatsoever. Somebody say stuck for a purpose. I know a lot of people, when they get into a tough situation, they just complain and whine and mope around, giving up on anything better. Stuck. Nobody in the 11 o'clock service. This was all for the people in the 8:45 service. Nobody in here would ever do such a thing like that. So something doesn't go the way you hope for, and you say things like, well, I guess I'll never get the job that I really wanted. Or something doesn't go the way you hope for, and you say things like, well, I guess I'll never find someone that I can marry. Or something doesn't go the way that you want, and you say, like, I guess God will never bless my life. And as Christians, we get caught up in the lie that says, because you know Jesus, you'll never have problems. Let me help you understand something today. In this life, you're going to have to deal with some stuff. Come on, slap your neighbor and tell them, suck it up, buttercup. Suck it up, buttercup. In fact, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's great news, because that means that sometimes when I face difficult situations in my life and when I feel stuck, God is up to something good for my life. Come on, somebody shout a big amen. Come on, somebody shout, choose joy. See, you're going to face some stuff. You're going to face some battles. You're going to face some obstacles, and some point, you're going to feel stuck, and you've got to know what to do when you feel like the pressure of life is caving in around you, and when you feel like you're up against a wall with no way around it. In our text today, God's people are in a tough situation. They feel stuck. They're feeling the pressure. And God shows up and speaks to Gideon, and you're about to see that when you make yourself available to God, the possibilities are limitless. So here's the backstory to all of this, so you know what's going on. After creation, sin enters the world, and the people are awful. God wipes everything out with the flood, but spares Noah and his family. to start fresh. And after the flood and after several generations later, God raises up Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And they change, God changes Jacob's name to Israel. And God blessed them, and they were established as a great people while in slavery in Egypt. And then God raises up a man by the name of Moses. Y'all with me, 11 o'clock? To deliver them out of slavery and give them their own land and forms them into a great nation. Now Moses passes away, and they're led into the promised land by Joshua. And the time has come for Israel to be God's kingdom in the form of an established nation on earth. But when Joshua passes away, after they get into the promised land, they quickly forgot who God was and who it was that got them there. And they started picking up the beliefs of other people in the area and started worshiping other false gods. And they abandoned the ways of God. And after they get to the promised land for 450 years, here's the cycle of Israel. They would forget God and do evil. God would allow them to be punished and defeated by another nation. Israel would come to their senses and cry out to God, and then God would raise up a judge to deliver them. For 450 years, that was their ongoing cycle. And so now in Judges chapter 6, the Midianites and the Amalekites and other eastern nations are invading Israel, God's people that he delivered, that he established into a respected nation and gave them their own land. Israel, the people of God. And now, because they turned away from God, they've ran out and started hiding in the mountains and living in caves. It was a terror-filled time. As Israel is hiding away, afraid for their lives. And to prove that, one of the Israelites, Gideon, is threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it away from their enemy, the Midianites. And today, God is about to teach us something about being stuck for a purpose. I'm gonna give you 2 points today. Here's the first one. Write this down real quick. Number one, pressure comes to push out what's been hiding within. That's good, Pastor Justin. Say it again. I'm gonna say it again. Pressure comes to push out what's been hiding within. Refresh, verses 11 through 12. Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And we can read that and very easily say, awesome, everything is good now. The angel of the Lord showed up and said, "God is with me, I'm a mighty warrior." But how many of you know that when you're down in the middle of a mess, it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel? Am I talking to the right people today? Several years ago, don't bring the picture up yet. Several years ago, my wife and I had an injury. My wife, long story short, fell off the stage and tore her ACL, MCL, and meniscus, and had to have like total knee just reconstruction there. And it was just not a fun time for us. And the very next day after her surgery, we were in the middle of renovations at our church. We were moving from one sanctuary to remodeling a new one in our campus. And so lots of things going on. And we're in one of the kids' hallways moving some things around. And there's me and another guy there moving this pallet jack, and it's up against the wall, so you couldn't crank it. And so I said, "Hang on, let me just grab the teeth of it and yank it and pull it away so you can crank it up." And so I did everything you're not supposed to do. I've got a paint can in one hand, and I reach over on one leg like this, and I grab the bottom of the pallet jack, and I just went wham, just try to pull it over. And in the one swift motion, I snapped my bicep, and it curled up into my shoulder. It went through my body. I'm like, oh, I just fell up against the wall. I said, something's wrong. And so I had to go get it checked out. And sure enough, the next day they tell me, "Yeah, you snapped your bicep. It curled all the way up into my shoulder." And they said, "You've got 2 weeks to fix it, or you won't be able to fix it at all, and you'll just have a deformed bicep." And he said, "You really need to get it fixed." And so here we are. My wife's got fresh surgery with ACL, MCL, and meniscus, and I've got to go get surgery on my bicep. And so they put me in a hard cast from my wrist up to my shoulder. And this was the first Sunday that we showed up to church together. Show them that picture right here. That was us. We were a sight for sore eyes, y'all. It was crazy. Like, we were trying to take care of each other at home because I got one good arm and she's got one good leg, and it was just great. It was great. But it was in this moment I thought, what can be good about any of this? Now, I don't think that God causes that to happen, but he is sovereign, so he has to allow it. And it's in that season that I watched our staff and our leaders rally around each other when I couldn't be there to help them physically, and watched how God used them to do some incredible work in our church. It was a beautiful thing. So God used it for his glory, stuck for a purpose. Come on, look at our world today. Look at our personal lives today. Look at churches today. It's hard to see the light when you seem to be surrounded by darkness. Can I get a witness? It's hard to see the good when everywhere you look seems bad. It's hard to see the good when everywhere you look seems like another challenge or another obstacle. It's hard to see the good when everywhere you look, you see the aftermath of COVID and social injustice. It's hard to see the good when all you hear from the news and social media is a negative perspective of things. It's hard to see the good when you see our government acting so corrupt and childish. It's hard to see the good when the media only highlights the hatred in our world. And it's hard to see the good when so-called Christians and churches are bashing other Christians and churches. It's hard to see the good when your own family members who you love so dearly are not serving the Lord. It's hard to see the good when the doctor comes in with a negative report. But understand this, church, hell specializes at making you feel like you're completely surrounded with no way out, stuck for a purpose. So Gideon says, pardon me, excuse me, Lord, but if the Lord is with us, then why has all of this happened to us? Have you been there? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of the Midians. In other words, if the Lord is with me, what happened? If the Lord is with us, what happened? If the Lord is with us, then why is my marriage on the rocks? And if the Lord is with us, then why is my family going through such a hard time? If God is with us, then why am I dealing with depression? And why are so-called Christians afraid of what tomorrow holds? And why do I feel trapped by this addiction? Why do I feel like quitting? And why do I seem to face the same devils that I've been facing for a long time? If the Lord is with us, then why is my prayer not getting answered? If the Lord is with us, what happened? So much craziness has happened in our world, and how do we move forward in a 2022 world? If the Lord is with us, what happened? Check this out. Back up to Judges chapter 6, 8 through 10, when God said, I brought you out of Egypt, out of the hand of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of your oppressors, and I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me. That's a hard word. So as a result, Israel is hiding for their lives in mountains and caves, running in fear from their enemies. Pressure comes to push out what's been hiding within. And now Gideon, the mighty warrior, is threshing wheat down in a wine press because of it. Pressure comes to push out what's been hiding within. So, Pastor, you're saying that God is just having a blast by messing with my life? No, not at all. Follow me, church. Y'all with me? 11 o'clock? I'm going somewhere with all of this. The answer is found in the wine press. Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. So in order for you to get this, grain was cut down, gathered, and then brought to a threshing floor, which would then loosen the grain from the straw, usually done by the trampling of animals or carts. And the location of the threshing floor was important. So they would try to find an elevated area where the wind would blow. They would then toss it up in the wind, and the afternoon wind would blow away the straw while the grain would fall to the ground, and they would be able to gather up all the grain. But Gideon was trying to do this down in a wine press. And here's the problem, Makers Church. Wine presses are not made for threshing wheat. A wine press is where they would take grapes down through a series of levels to get out of them what was in them. And it started with pressure and crushing. But why did God allow Gideon to go down into a wine press to thresh wheat? I'm so glad you want to know. God was teaching Gideon something, and God is teaching us something today. The wine press is a place of pressure and a place of crushing. And here's what happens when you're pressed. What's in you comes out of you. And I believe that God has allowed the church to go through what we've gone through to get us to a place of pressure to push out what's been hiding within. Israel had turned their hearts away from God and had picked up on things that don't belong in their lives. So God had to get Gideon down to a place of crushing, and because of the condition of Israel's heart, they're hiding in mountains and living in caves, and they're threshing wheat in wine presses. Newsflash, Makers Church, you only thresh wheat in a wine press when you forget who you are and when you forget who God is. Oh, can I go a little deep today? Are we going too deep today? Are we okay, 11 o'clock? You may leave. You only leave where you belong to go hiding in mountains and caves when you forget who God is. Pressure comes to push out what's been hiding within. So if you're losing to fear, it's because you've forgotten who God is. If you're losing to depression, it's because you've forgotten who God is. If you're losing to addiction, it's because you've forgotten who God is. Oh, sometimes God has to get you down into a place of crushing to get out of you what's been hiding on the inside. He's got to get that defeated, downcast, worthless, no good mentality out of you so you can be reminded of who God is. Who am I talking to today? Believers today are threshing wheat in a wine press because we've forgotten who God is and we've forgotten who we are. The church today has been threshing wheat in a wine press because we've forgotten who we are and who God is. America is threshing wheat in a wine press because we've forgotten who God is. And I've come to tell Makers Church, God is getting us to a place of crushing to get out of us what's been in us, and it's all for a purpose. And my prayer is that God will crush the hatred right out of us, that He'll crush the racism out of us and crush the selfishness and the religion and the complacency and the pride and the fear and the doubt. God has allowed our world to be shaken to get out of us what's been hiding within, and God is looking for places and people who are available in 2022. Come on, if you're available today, give God a big shout of praise. Woo! Oh, if you've ever found yourself stuck in the press, you need to remind yourself of who God is and that it's all for a purpose. I've come to remind you of who you are. You are the people of God, and He is our God. Come on, Makers, high five your neighbor and tell them, don't forget who God is. Come on, high five your second choice and say, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you are. Are we okay? 11 o'clock. Pressure. Pressure comes to push out what's been hiding within. Gideon said, well, if you're with us, Lord, why has this happened? And the Lord turned to him and said in verse 14, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? I need you to see how the Lord is pumping Gideon up right here. Am I not sending you? Several years ago, there was a gentleman in our church. He's an incredible man. His name is Chris Anderson. And he's one of the nicest people you could ever meet. And when I first met him, I thought he was this quiet, just gentle guy. And we had a softball team at the time, and 15 or 20 of us guys would go out and play softball in his league. And one night we were out there. Chris Anderson loves baseball. Like he's actually a huge Cincinnati Reds fan. And I pray for him all the time. I'm like, listen, man. It's always false hope every year, every year. When I lived here for about 10 years that I was here, my father-in-law would always say, this is the year, baby, this is the year. And I'm like, it's never the year. It's never the year. I was at the game when Jay Bruce hit the home run in the 10th inning to send them into the playoffs. I don't even know what year that was. It's been a minute. So he's a huge Cincinnati Reds fan. And so we're out there playing softball, and something doesn't go the way that he likes. He got thrown out at one of the bases, I think, or something like that. And this quiet, nice, gentle guy, dude, something came over him, and he comes storming back to the dugout. How many of you know that when a man is mad and angry and having a moment, just don't mess with him. Just let him have his moment. He'll be all right. Just let him do his thing. Don't try to console him. It's all right, but no, get off me. Like, don't touch me. Don't even look at me. Don't even talk to me. Like, you just let the man have his moment. He comes to the dugout, storms through the dugout, and this is the quietest, nicest guy. Goes to the, how many of y'all remember WWF wrestling in the 80s with Ultimate Warrior? I'm not kidding you. He comes over to the end of the fence, grabs a hold of the fence, and goes, ah, and starts shaking the fence. I'm like, this is amazing, dude. I didn't say anything. I'm thinking, let's go. Ultimate Warrior. Like, it was incredible. And so once he had his moment, he was good. Like, he just had to have that moment. And so fast forward, he and his wife, Sarah, they get pregnant. And I'm in a drive-thru somewhere, and I get a phone call and asked to be start praying for Chris and Sarah because something has happened. She's not ready for delivery. She's a couple months away. And so something happened. I don't even know all the terminology. I'd say something weird and diagnose her with some kind of weird issue. That's not the case. So I won't say any kind of like medical terminology. But she has something going wrong. And so I show up at the hospital, and the doctors are at the point where they're afraid for the child's life. But it's moved beyond that. They're afraid that Sarah's not going to make it. So it's a bad situation. It turned bad real quick. And so they've got her in this room, and they're getting ready to load her up into an ambulance to take her to another hospital in Knoxville. And so he's in the hallway, and he's freaking out, as any husband would probably be. And he's just pacing the hallway, sweating and crying a little bit. And he's like, man, I just don't know what to do. And he was literally saying, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. I don't know what to do. He was freaking out. And at some point, like, I was, as a pastor, I'm going, God, give me the words to say that Chris, it'll resonate with Chris. It'll speak to his heart. Lord, what do you want to say, Holy Spirit? Just speak in this moment. And I'm letting him do his thing. And at some point, I heard the Holy Spirit say, just square him up. And I squared him up against the wall. And he just kind of put up his back up against the wall. And I said, listen, Chris, you were made for this. You, God chose you to be Sarah's husband. And God chose you to be little Nathaniel's dad. And you can do this. And your wife and your son, they need you. You need to square up and be there for them and intercede for them. And you fight like a warrior for this thing. And I saw Chris, literally, he went from like just freaking out. He started doing the head nod. And like, he got the Ultimate Warrior face going. He's like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and we started praying right there in the hallway. Come to find out, God worked a miracle in that situation, and their child was born, and he was in the hospital for many, many weeks, and God did an amazing thing, and little Nathaniel is 5 years old today, and God has blessed their lives. But I watched how God said, you were made for this. So God says to Gideon, I'm sending you to get Israel out of this mess because you are a mighty warrior. But check this, church. Gideon was not going to be victorious because he was a mighty warrior. Gideon was going to be victorious because of the power and the presence of God that was with him. God, the mighty one. God, strong in battle. God was with him. Gideon was a mighty warrior because God was with him. Oh, I've got some good news for somebody in the house today. You're going to come up out of the press because of who's with you. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Come on, touch your neighbor and tell him God's with you, baby. God's with you. Come on, touch somebody else. God's with you. You're overcoming fear today because of who's with you. You're coming up out of depression today because of who's with you. Your marriage will be restored because of who's with you. You're going to get that job promotion because of who's with you. You're going to overcome that sickness because of who's with you. You're going to get that miracle today because of who's with you. You're going to get that breakthrough today because of who's with you. Come on. If you know that God's with you, give God a big shout of praise. Woo! Can I take it a step further, church? The church is coming up out of the press because we're remembering of who's with us. I don't know why you're sitting down. What the enemy has meant for evil, God is flipping it for our good. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Hear me, family. Hear me, Maker's Church. You are the church. It's 2022, and you're still here. The past 2.5 years, hell has given you its best, but I need you to understand that the worst of hell is no match for the best of heaven, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. You're not here to just survive. You're here to thrive, and now more than ever, you're going to plunder hell to populate heaven. Maker's Church, am I not sending you, Pastor Derek and Pastor Melissa? God is sending you. Come on, if you believe it today, get up on your feet and give God a big shout of praise. Woo! Oh, I need you to get up out of your seat, find three people, high five them, and tell them God's sending us today, baby. God is sending us. God is sending us. God is sending us. God is sending us. Pressure comes to push out what's been hiding within. We good? We good, 11 o'clock? Pressure comes to push out what's been hiding within. Here's the second thing, the last one, just two things today. Here's the second one. Number two, don't allow the size of your problem cause you to limit the strength of God's power. Well, can I say it again for the people in the back? Don't allow the size of your problem cause you to limit the strength of God's power. Verse 15 and 16. Excuse me, Lord, pardon me again. But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And the Lord answered him, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive. God, I don't know if I can do this. Can you relate? God, I don't know if I can work this out. I don't know if we can make it. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know if I have the strength to overcome and face this battle that I'm in. And God said, I will be with you. In 2012, my wife and I left Cincinnati to head to Tennessee to launch the Avenue Church. And the year leading up to 2012, I'd been wrestling in my spirit about what to do because God had stirred up a passion inside of me for East Tennessee, my hometown area. And I thought maybe I'm just crazy, and because everything was good. I was a youth pastor and assistant pastor at Central Parkway Church of God, and I was there for almost 10 years, and everything was great. It was comfortable. God had blessed our lives. And so for me to think about leaving that to go to nothing was like crazy, right? Crazy. And I'm like, man, I'm just wrestling with this until one day on a Monday morning, I'm at the church working on some sound issues as a youth pastor and assistant pastor, because when you're that role, it means you do everything. You just, what hat am I wearing today? And I was on my knees on the stage, and I was just overwhelmed with this burden, this passion. And I said, I've got to talk to somebody. I hadn't even talked to my wife yet. I was trying to squash it. So I went down and shared what I just told you about the passion for starting a place in Tennessee. And man, my wife and I left everything and went to nothing. She had a job lined up. I didn't yet. We left everything boxed up at a U-Haul, had my wife and two kids. I remember crossing the bridge going into Kentucky from 75, and I remember telling myself, I was driving behind them. They were in the van in front of me. I was driving the big, huge U-Haul, and I remember telling God, if this is not you, I'm going to have some issues with you, Lord. Like I was threatening God. What you going to do? Because here's the deal. The whole time leading up to that day, I had men and women of God here telling me, you're making the biggest mistake of your life. And so here I am trying to decipher the voice of God from the men and women of God. And I'm thinking, Lord, am I making a mistake? Am I crazy? Am I lost my mind? Like I'm pulling my kids up and we're leaving everything to go to nothing. Am I losing it? Maybe I am making the biggest mistake in my life. And so I've got this battle going on of what to do. And am I here to please man? Or am I here to please God? And am I going to follow you? Or am I going to follow the opinions of people? And it's just hard. On the way down, I call a good friend of mine that I grew up with and was sharing him what I considered exciting news. Hey, we're going to plant a church. And when I told him that, the first, not congratulations, not, hey, man, I'm excited for you. The first thing out of his mouth was like, don't you think there's enough churches in our world today? I looked at my phone. I'm like, come on, God, like, what's the deal? Maybe I am making a mistake. Maybe I am making a bad choice. People told me I was making a mistake, but listen, I knew that God had called me. When you hear the voice of God, you don't forget it. And I knew what God had been speaking to me. Can I tell you something? If I knew that God's, if I could hear God's voice, I knew that He was with me. I knew that I can face anything. Oh man, when you know that God is with you, you've got a little extra strut in your walk. Well, I do it with people all the time. When I'm with someone who's bigger and stronger than I am, my trash talk game goes to a whole nother level. I said this in the 8:45 service, but you put me at a Bengals game in the middle of the Steelers stadium with Pastor Derek, I'm going to say some stuff. I'll feel pretty good about it. I'm like, what you going to do? All right, you got my back too, bro. I got you. You know what that's like walking beside him. I feel like I'm a pretty good, decent-sized man until I walk up to Pastor Derek. I'm like, sweet, thanks. I was feeling good about my calling and my anointing until I saw you. Thanks a lot. Here's what I'm saying. When you know that God's with you, you know that you can face anything. But watch what Gideon says. Lord, how can I face this battle? My family's pathetic. And I'm the worst one. That's what he said. My family's a joke, and look at me. And watch this. God, Gideon had wine long enough, and God was saying, I will be with you. Now get up out of this pathetic wine press and go win this battle. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here at the 11 o'clock service. I've come to tell somebody, listen, man of God, listen, woman of God. God has not called you to whine around and live defeated. He's called you to fight like a warrior and live victorious. So stop settling for defeat by sizing up your enemy and start living victorious by seeing the strength of your God. Oh, I need you to get up again and tell your whole area it's time to get out of the press today. Come on, high five your neighbor and tell him it's time to get up, baby. It's time to get up. Come on, give God a big shout of praise. Woo! Why? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, he just needs your availability. Our confidence is not founded on our own ability and resources. We are confident in victory because of God's presence and his power. Hey, when God's with you, you're never out. When God's with you, you're never done. When God's with you, you'll never lose. For our God has never lost a battle. Oh, the aftermath of COVID is not a limit for God. Political unrest is not a limit for God. Sickness is not a limit for God. Your marriage issue is not a limit for God. Your financial trouble is not a limit for God. That job promotion is no limit for God. The next step for Maker's Church is not a limit for God. The condition of our world is not a limit for God. How he can use the church to reach people in 2022. Come on, Makers. It's time to get up out of the wine press and remember who we are and remember who God is. We are the children of God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even imagine. For our God specializes in turning impossible situations into miracles. Is with us, and because he's with us, we win. Oh, if you know there's absolutely nothing too hard for our God, why don't we take about the next 15 seconds in a praise break, letting him know that he's able and he's worthy today. Come on, lift your voice. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 You sit down for a second. We're about done. You know what that means? Nothing. In my church, we've got two services right now, getting ready to go to three. Help us, Lord. We've been at three before, but when COVID hit, we scaled it back. And listen, Lord, forgive me. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But at the Avenue Church, I know I'm on a time clock at the 9 o'clock service because we got to get to 11. But once 11 hits, no holds bar. Bring your snacks, bring your Kool-Aid, bring your water, whatever. We gonna be in church a while today. I'm just kidding, we're not going to. Yes. Can I take my liberty for a second? Verse 17, Gideon replied, I really am about done. Nobody's freaking out. Somebody's going, oh, is he serious? We're going to be here a while. Gideon replied, if I've now found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I'll wait until you return. Hey, church, God is waiting on us to return to him. God is waiting on you to return to him. God is waiting on the church to return to him. God has not forgotten us. God has not forgotten us. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, because of your enemy. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. God hasn't changed. We have. He's just waiting on us to return to him. Here's a big idea. If you'll make yourself available to God, he will make his ability available to you, and nothing will be impossible. God is giving you an opportunity for limitless possibilities, but your lack of availability to God will limit what he can do in your life and in his church. The only ones who can screw this thing up is you. Me. God's not going to mess this up. Don't give Satan too much credit. We're the only ones that can mess this thing up. Come on, slap your neighbor and say, don't mess this up. Your lack of ability to, your lack of availability to God will limit what God can do in this church. Why? Because God is a responder God. Just waiting on you to become available. God is wanting you to remember who you are and who he is. You are a child of God, and he is the King of Kings. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord are searching the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. In other words, God is searching the earth for people and places that are available to him. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, and then I will forgive their sins, and then I'll hear their land. Hey, Makers Church, this is the place where God wants to pour out his power and where God wants to pour out his presence to give the world Jesus. Come on, if you believe it today, somebody shout a big amen. So let me tell you the rest of the story. Gideon says, okay, you're sending me, I'll go. Gideon gathers up all the men. He gathers an army of 32,000 men. That's a pretty good army. I've never had 32,000 men at my disposal for battle. Gideon's like, awesome, we're going to war, baby. It's about to be on. And God says, hold up, you've got too many people. I don't know about you, but if I'm Gideon and I'm going to war, I want as many people as I possibly can to have my back and fight with me. God's like, hold up, Slim Shady, you got too many. 32,000 men. God says, go ask them if anybody's afraid, they can go home. Gideon's like, I know mine, we got it. I'll go ask them, but you're wrong. I'll ask them. Hey, God says, if y'all are afraid, you can go home. Sweet. 22,000 men later. Gideon had to have been like, really? I go from 32,000 men to 10,000 men because 22,000 men of my army were afraid. Awesome. Okay. Well, I mean, it's better than nothing. I've got 10,000. God says, hold up. Slow your roll. You still got too much. What? You just took 22,000 of my men. Now I've only got 10,000 men. Yeah, take them down to the river and give them something to drink. The ones who kneel down on their knees and start drinking like a dog from their mouths, like separate them from the ones who get down on a knee and lap it up and pull it up to them. And Gideon's like, okay, awesome, I want to do that. And so 9,700 of them kneel all the way down like a dog and start drinking. And Gideon had to have been thinking, please, let me keep them. 9,700. And God says, no, the ones who knelt down and pulled it up to, like, those are the ones I want to use. And Gideon's like, that's 300. 32,000 to 300. Remember our first point? Pressure comes to push out what's been hiding within. Sometimes God allows pressure to get some things out of you that don't belong, right? Right? But then sometimes God allows some pressure to see who's all in and to see who's not. To see who's for real and to see who's fake. So if you know anything about juice and juicers, you know that when you take a piece of fruit and you push it down and you apply some pressure, somebody say pressure, when you apply some pressure, what's in it comes out of it, right? It's not rocket science. You apply some pressure, and what's in this fruit comes out of this fruit. So Gideon has some pressure applied to his life, and what's in him, because he was the real deal, came out of him. But when the Lord brought the 32,000 men before him and applied some pressure, he came to find out that there was 31,700 who were fake. Not the real deal. But 300 were the real deal. Y'all with me, makers? 300 were real. Ah, where are you going with this, Pastor Justin? You mean if I want to come to church, you're going to make me wear a mask? I'm out. You mean if I want to come to church, I don't have to wear a mask? I'm out. You don't care about people. You mean, Pastor, you're trying to tell me that you want black people and white people and Hispanic people and Asian people to come to church and worship together? I'm out. You mean, Pastor, you're trying to tell me you want Republicans and Democrats to come in the same place and worship God together? I'm out. You mean, Pastor, in 2022, you're saying you don't support same-sex marriage? I thought you loved people. I thought you loved all people. I'm out. You mean in 2022, you support life in the womb? I'm out of here. Y'all with me, church? Wait a minute. Hold on. You're bringing in Pastor Derek and Melissa, and you want to start playing what kind of music at church? I'll find me a church that plays the old songs. You mean you're gonna put that person in charge? I've been here longer than they have. I'm out. You're trying to tell me that we're gonna start doing things that way? I love this one. We've never done things that way before. I'm out. Fake, plastic, shallow. And God says, I had to find out who would follow me no matter what the world throws at them. I had to find out who would follow me into the battle no matter how big the enemy looks. I had to find out who would follow me no matter the issue and no matter the sickness and no matter who's president and no matter who did them wrong and no matter who walked out on them and no matter the cost. It's 2022 and God has put the pressure on the church and some have stayed and some have left. And I've come to tell Makers Church and everyone who's watching online, God is about to pour his spirit out on those who have weathered the storm and who's willing to pay the price. Oh, the greatest day of revival is in front of us. It's available for those who are available to God. Come on, if you believe it today, give God a big shout of praise.